One other thing I spoke about with the crew that day was a mission that the Coast Guard is also charged with, dealing with migrants who are coming to the U.S. by sea. Often, they're refugees. And this is, according to the United Nations, World Refugee Day. For more on that, we turn to the world's Richard Hall in Beirut. Describe for us, Rich, the migrant and refugee situation when you first started covering this story. That was, what, 2012?
Yeah, around 2012, yeah. Well, it was interesting at the beginning. There was definitely a sense among people fleeing from Syria that this wouldn't be a permanent thing. There was definitely a sense of optimism that this would end quickly. And you saw that in where they were going. People weren't heading to Europe then. They were going to Turkey. They were going to Lebanon and Jordan, countries neighboring Syria, because they thought they'd be going home.
So compare what was going on in 2012 to what you're seeing today. Like, how have those patterns of flight and numbers actually changed?
So with regards to Syria, the conflict has been static for a while now. And as the war dragged on and it became clear that it wasn't going to be over quickly, you later saw people making a decision to leave and go further afield and try and build a life somewhere else. So over the past five years, there have been these waves of people fleeing the country. 2015 was a particularly bad year. Everyone will remember the migrant crisis that affected Europe. You had people fleeing all the way to Europe, fleeing the violence in Syria. So I think when I first started around 2012, there was around 500,000 registered Syrian refugees in neighboring countries, and it kind of trickled up over the years. In 2014, it was 4 million. Today, there's more than 5.5 million Syrians living outside of the country, and many more than that displaced inside the country. And the routes have also changed. So before, people used to leave Syria by land and try and get to Europe. The borders were largely open as a humanitarian decision by Turkey. Now those borders are largely closed. Turkey made a deal with the EU that saw it crack down on smugglers so people couldn't flee. So now people are mostly traveling to Europe by sea across the Mediterranean, which is a much more dangerous route.
Yeah, the time that you spent on that rescue ship in the Mediterranean last month, did you get the sense that a lot of refugees today, whether they're from Syria or anywhere else, have kind of given up any hopes of really ever going home again?
It depends on who you ask, really. If you ask a Syrian person, they will always tell you that they will go home. As soon as they can go home, they will. There's definitely a sense that they've left something that they missed dearly behind. Other people are leaving because they see no hope in their own country. And that was definitely something I felt on the boat. You had people coming from across sub-Saharan Africa, and they would say the same thing. They would say, there is nothing for me in this country. Those people were definitely trying to go away and trying to build a new life.
As you've been covering these tens of thousands of people fleeing their homes, has there been one moment or any moments that really have kind of stuck with you and kind of crystallized the whole situation?
Yeah, there have been a few, actually. I suppose it's these kind of small moments that stick out. There was one during the migrant crisis of 2015 when hundreds of thousands of people were traipsing across Europe, walking across borders. There was a moment where I'd spent the evening with a group of Syrian refugees, middle-class Syrians, English speakers, educated, all of them. We spent the evening together. We spoke about their lives in Syria. And when they crossed the border from Serbia into Croatia, I had to say goodbye to them. And I saw this group of people that were just like me, gathering their things together in the dead of night and heading off into this cornfield. They just kind of disappeared into this field of corn crossing this border. And it just made me think, you know, this could happen to anyone.
I was going to ask you what your biggest lesson has been. As you've covered migrants and refugees, that sounds like it might be one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is that people forget that these people are fleeing for a reason. They always have a good reason to leave. There's that famous poem by a British Somali poet, Wazan Shire. He says, no one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. And they want to be safe, of course, but they want to go home too. They want to go back to the place they grew up and where their family lived and where they have memories. And that's something that people living in the West forget, I think.
So the UN designates this day, June 20th, as World Refugee Day. What can one day do?
It's interesting. I thought about this a lot. I think that I definitely get the sense that in Europe and especially in America since the rise of Donald Trump, there is definitely a fear about refugees, especially when you talk about them in these abstract numbers. People get scared. People get scared of the scale of the crisis. I think hearing the stories about people who have made it to the other side, trying to combat this fear that people have of these people and of these abstract numbers, I think anything that does that is a good thing.
That's the world's Richard Hall in Beirut.